Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. A lot of stuff to do on today's big two-hour radio show spectacular. Yes, I have Bubble Boy and CJ in the studio with me. Guys, how are you?
What's happening?
Hello, Greg.
And also, via the web, we have Jerry the Diver Guy and my buddy Eric Douglas, world-renowned
author. What's going on?
What's going on, Jerry? We missed you last week. Glad to have you back. And Eric, welcome. How are you, buddy?
It's always fun to be here, Greg. I'm going to have to develop a little catchphrase like Jerry.
What do you mean?
Well, what's going on? I need something like that.
Yeah, actually, you sound just like him. So you could potentially just steal it. I don't know.
No, that's Jerry's. I'm not going to steal from him.
All right, so Eric Douglas needs a catchphrase. You think? We'll have to come up with one for you, Eric. We'll work on that.
We'll have to brainstorm.
Yes.
When chickens come in my house, guess what? They get ate. When pigs come in my house, they own the plate.
All right.
So when you go in the shark's house, you're going to get ate up, okay?
All right. Well, yeah.
That's too long.
That's too much. Too long for a catchphrase. I agree. Yeah. So that one won't work. But that's, what's her name?
Pooh. How about this one?
She's hysterical.
What about this one?
Okay. Lord Jesus. Oh, God, no.
Okay, that could be Eric's new catchphrase. Lord Jesus. Oh, hell no. Something like that.
Damn!
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll work on it and amuse ourselves at least and annoy the rest of the world. All right, well, look, we got a lot of stuff to talk about with the crew today. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's big show, I got to reflect a little bit on last week because, you know, we were talking about that world record attempt in St. Croix that ended in tragedy. A guy was going for 1,200 feet, and he didn't come back. And, you know, Pete from Scuba Board, went back and forth about what happened to this guy. He was very opinionated and was arguing with me quite a bit on the show last week, and we did receive quite a bit of email.
No, he wasn't.
What do you mean, no, he wasn't?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Oh, no, you're playing the role
exactly.
Of Pete. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, what's up with you and Pete? Are you guys really upset with each other? And, you know, the fact that he's not here this week says a lot. No, it doesn't. We were good. We're fine. And, you know, I just didn't really agree with some of the you know, I don't know, the theories that he had of what happened. Because my stance was the only person who knows what happened to the guy is him. And maybe when they go back and look at the video, if indeed there is video that was attached to him and they've, you know, get that with the coroners and you know, look at the equipment, the Coast Guard and all that stuff, maybe they'll find out, you know, something happened. But, you know, he was going in all these theories and he should have known this and that and this other thing. We don't know what happened. And we did get a lot of emails about this, and some people were upset, more with Pete than me. So as far as I'm concerned, I won. I won the argument, and Pete is licking his wounds this week. We'll leave it at that. If you didn't hear the story, go back to the podcast, listen to last week's show. Honestly, even with all the video and everything, we may never know what really happened with that whole thing, and time will tell. But there you go. I want to get that out of the way, and thank everybody for, you know, sending their emails and that kind of thing and responding accordingly. And, you know, it's kind of what I really enjoy about that is not just the feedback. We always love getting the feedback, but I especially love the feedback that's positive, because most of the time it's negative. Like, Craig, you're such an idiot. And it's good to hear that someone else was an idiot for once. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Shut up!
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on. This week, I got to take someone else to task. And believe it or not, it is the mainstream media. We got this tropical storm, Erica, out there in the Caribbean. And it took a few days.
It's not even a storm anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of dissipated after it went over San Juan and that kind of thing. However, there were, you know, there's some stories. I found out a couple days before the mainstream media started reporting about Dominica, or I should say Dominica, in their place. Have you seen this? Have
yes.
any of you guys? I don't know if Eric and Jerry know this, but everybody was saying Dominica. That's Fox News, CNN, everybody.
The Prime Minister of Dominica.
Yeah.
What?
And I was like, you know, it's not Dominica, it's Dominica is how you properly say it.
Right. Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. I see where you're going.
Yeah. And it just blew me away that all the news folks, there was one news person out of Miami that I believe was on Fox News actually said it correctly.
It's Miami.
My jammy.
True. I think you got me on that one.
Now, you know what? I can't rag him too much because I did the same thing.
You said Dominica?
Yeah.
Well, most people do. It's like, you know, we're in Orlando and we have this area of town down by, you know, Touristville called Kissimmee. That's what everyone says because it looks like it's Kissimmee, but you actually say a Kissimmee. It's an Indian pronunciation. It's one of the first things you learn as a reporter or, you know, news person here in the Central Florida area that you say Kissimmee.
It is Native American, and roughly translated, it means put your lips on my face.
Okay. I think you are technically incorrect. However, I'm willing to bypass that minor flaw in your character. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the...
Put your lips on my face and suck in gently.
I was getting so hung up on this, and maybe it's just me. But I was just like, guys, you know, it's one thing to mess up Dominica and saying it incorrectly once or twice. But it was obvious that none of them bothered to learn how to say the name of this country.
Dominica.
No, that's not.
Dominica.
Greg, that's not the only one. There was also Puerto Rico. They kept saying Puerto Rico. It's not Puerto Rico. It's Puerto Rico.
Okay. All right. Bubble Boys drinking. Nice. Yeah. And so I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I just didn't like the reporting on that. Eric, what do you think? Did you?
I flinched every time I heard it myself.
Yeah, you were bugged by that? Maybe it's a diver thing, because we're familiar with the island of Dominica, you know, being such a world-class dive area destination. We're a little bit more familiar than the rest of the world.
I did hear.
It's a beautiful island. I've been there, and yeah, no, I flinched every time I heard it. It's a French pronunciation versus a Spanish pronunciation is where it's the big difference.
Well, there you go. Eric knows. And yeah, and that would make sense.
The guy from the Weather Channel got it right. I did see them get it right
you
once.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
At
well,
least once.
Maybe they've covered, you know, Dominica, you know, before. And actually, technically, it's Dominica.
Dominica.
So even here in the mountains, we call it Down Yonder.
That would be Australia, Jerry.
Down yonder.
Oh, down yonder.
No, that's yeah, down yonder.
Okay,
down
yonder. All right. Yeah, and so we'll keep that in mind. I mean, I would give Jerry a slide because I can't understand 50% of what he says anyway. So, but you'd think these news reporters would get it right. Now, when it comes to the island of Dominica, unfortunately, it was pretty devastating. The storm, when it came over the islands, I mean, they're reporting as many as like 20 people may have died down there. It's really tragic. I'm getting... you know, some bad news from that part of the world in that sense. However, the dive areas and things like that and the main areas of the islands, I think are going to be okay from what I'm hearing through our friends on Facebook. And we haven't heard of anybody personally affected on the island so far in our dive community there, which is a very close-knit family. So that's good to hear, Simon, you know, our buddy Woody down there. And Dominica, and hopefully we'll connect with them maybe next week. They're still having issues just having power, let alone internet you know, coverage where we could actually connect with them and get them on
Simon
there.
Got home yet?
Actually, no. Simon's on the mainland, I believe.
He's still stuck in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. And they've had a lot of situations like that. You know, the airlines can't get in and out easily to Dominica right now. So they're having some issues in that regard. Right. But, you know, time will say, time will tell how things go. Eric, were you going to say something? Sounded like you wanted to.
I was just going to say that's a tough island to get to when everything's right.
Correct.
I mean, it's not. So when things are a little hinky, it's a mess anyway.
Yes. Well, time will tell, and we'll have to see, you know, if indeed it becomes an issue at all. But, of course, our hearts and prayers are with our friends there in Dominica, and we'll, you know, keep you abreast of the situation. The diving, I'm sure, will be great. Just be a matter of whether or not it'll be easier to get to here or a little tougher here in the future. More coming up.
The Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm a guppy, and I'm trying to mate with a dolphin.
You guys are bottom feeders. You're like those fish that swim into other fish's mouths and eat bacteria off their teeth.
There's no such fish. You made that fish up.
Okay, it's an analogy. I'm not going to debate the existence of the literal fish with you, because it's not relevant.
Well, good, because it doesn't exist.
That is a real fish.
God, it's getting hard to breathe this way. Everybody's life is on display. It's gotten out of control. Tell me, do you feel exposed? Well, welcome to the fishbowl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Kind of like living in a fishbowl. Why not? I am Greg the Dive Master. We have Jimmy the Bubble Boy, also CJ in the studio, and then Eric Douglas, world-renowned author, and Jerry the Diver Guy in the mountains of Virginia. They're not both in the mountains of Virginia. One's in West Virginia, one's in Virginia. And I'm not going to argue with you which one's which, but I think actually Jerry's in Virginia and Eric's in West Virginia. Did I get that
very
correct?
Very good.
See?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
There you go. Absolutely. So I'm learning slowly but surely. All right. So I don't know. I've gotten rid of or gotten the soapbox stuff out of the way. you know, mainstream media not saying the word or the island of Dominica correctly, calling it Dominica. And it's funny. I will say when they do the story about the island of Dominica, yeah, they say it so authoritatively. Like the island of Dominica was devastated by Tropical Storm Erica, blah, 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 blah. And so at least they sell it. But they just get the wrong pronunciation. Yeah. And it's just a tragic thing all the way around. If they're going to talk about the bad news of Dominica now got hit by the storm, at least pronounce it correctly. It's like rubbing salt in the wound, isn't it? You think? No? Maybe not.
Well, and it undermines your credibility, too. If you don't know how to pronounce it, do you really know what you're even talking about?
No, they have no clue. And, you know, and the other thing I want to make sure we clarify here is I don't want to oversell the devastation of Dominica because, you know, they've had deaths. There's been mudslides. You know, obviously homes have been lost and a lot of things like that. However, I have no doubt that they will be back and people will be going there to dive in no time. I mean, it may be tough for a month or so, but I wouldn't be surprised if we hear divers are going to be out there at the Fort Young Hotel and other properties there on the island doing their diving thing. And because, like you said, Eric, Dominica in general is tough to get to regardless, you know, even on a good day. So the fact that it might be a little bit more difficult than normal, well, you know, it may not be that big of a jump in that regard. As soon as they get, you know, the biggest problem they have right now, I believe, are the mudslides and the roads being open. So as soon as they get those cleared up, you know, they got to get the mud off the roads and get those
a lot of trees down.
Yeah, and get the trees and all that stuff and clear it out of the way. That'll take a week or two, and I think they'll probably be fine. You know, they'll have some issues here and there and stuff, but they'll rebound. So don't change your plans.
Within a month, it will be shining like the new gym that it is.
Exactly. You can't let all this, all this news, all this, these storm stories keep you away from some of the best diving that you could possibly encounter.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, and that goes for Dominica. That goes for any place where you have storms come into play, whether it's a hurricane comes through the area and that kind of thing, because that's probably more devastating to the island than the storm itself, is because what happens after this stuff gets reported, especially it's happened so many times in the Bahamas in particular, after a hurricane or a tropical storm has come through and people see all this devastation and all the video of the palm trees, you know, sideways and stuff flying everywhere. And they think, oh, my God, that place is devastated. You can't go there it's going to be years before they recover. And the reality is, yeah, there'll be certain parts where you'll see the devastation, but that doesn't keep the dive operators from operating. And you can still get over there and do some diving in a very short amount of time. And taking away that element of income for those folks is much more devastating than the storm itself, 9 times out of 10, because their economy is built on tourism. So just keep that in mind when you watch these stories and put it in perspective in that regard. And don't change your dive plans too drastically. You know, get hurricane insurance if you're planning a trip. If it's during hurricane season, that's just good common sense. And then you can rebook it and take advantage of that little safety net for yourself. But as far as the islands themselves, kind of put yourself in their fence.
If I was a dive operator and I had a website, I would put up a giant "We're open" sign.
That's right.
Just one of those big giant "We're open."
The problem with that, though, by the time you get to that point, all the news crews and stuff are out of there, and they won't bother to cover it. It's not bleeding. It's not
right. I mean, you're not going to get any help from them. But
yeah, it's positive news, which they don't.
That's why you need to listen to Scuba Radio for all your latest dive news.
That's true. We got to keep the mainstream media somewhat honest, and we got to beat them over the head a little bit every now and then. Eric, now I know, you know, we've had Lionfish, the book out there on Amazon, available for a couple weeks now. What's been the response from your perspective there, my friend?
The response has been really good. We've gotten some early reviews in, and they've all been positive so far. All 5-star reviews so far.
Excellent. Okay.
You know, and that's one of the things about being a writer in books. You're not going to please everybody, so there will be somebody will hate it. And there will be a 1-star or a 2-star review, and that's fine. And I usually share those too. But the response has been really good so far. Everybody's loving it.
All right, cool. Yeah, I haven't had one person complain yet and say, "Greg, this is a work of fiction. There's no way you could take out the bad guy with your taekwondo skills or something like that. That wouldn't happen in real life."
Spoiler alert.
No, it's not. I'm just saying there's some elements to the story that. Are more true to life than our people are giving me credit for. You know what I'm saying? CJ's looking at me. You've read the story, and you're laughing. Well, I don't understand that
I forgot
reaction.
That you are highly trained in the martial arts.
I am a deputy black belt. I'm like the Barney Fife of black belt.
Black what?
One of those. And I have a gun with no bullets,
A seaplane pilot.
Yes, I am. In the book. So I have a lot of special superpowers in this book that, actually I have a lot of these in real life.
You're ridiculous. Yeah. You're a ridiculous person.
Okay, whatever. One can dream.
The question I have is that has anybody read the first couple chapters and then written you and said, "Greg, he's making you look like an ass. What's all this about?"
No, that's the part where I'm getting the emails like, "Wow, this does read pretty true." So maybe those emails are comments from people that I haven't read the whole book yet. So explains the 5-star reviews, maybe. That's just Eric's phenomenal writing skills, I think. And we're seeing the results of that. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with CJ and Bubble Boy in the studio. And then we have Eric Douglas, who's a world-renowned author and the author of Lionfish, the new book that features the Scuba Radio crew, available now on Amazon.com, or you can go to booksbyeric.com.
I have a review.
You do?
Yeah, from someone who just read the book.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
Well, there you go. It's world renowned author Eric Douglas, and I think I picked up a bit of a Louisiana accent right there.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. See, what do you think, Eric? We're reaching a lot of people.
Is Louisiana part of the world?
Well, they're kind of their own thing.
Another one just popped up.
Oh, here's another one.
Another review
for Lionfish. Okay.
Yep. Brilliance. Sheer unadulterated brilliance.
Okay. I don't even know what the hell that was, but I think it was a 5-star review.
Is that brilliant?
I think that qualifies as a 5-star review. Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. So, Eric, can you hang with us? Because we got to do a Dan tip and take care of some business and stuff like that. But I wanted to talk to you about some lobsters. Again,
absolutely,
because you know we got this. Well, it's not even a tropical storm, Erica, anymore. But there's rumors that if it comes up through the east coast of Florida, that it's going to stir up the lobsters. And we're planning a little run down to South Florida or the Keys here in September, or maybe sooner, if indeed this stirs up the lobsters and makes them walk. And I know even Jerry, the diver guy, might come down from the mountains of Virginia. And, try to witness this phenomenon. You think, Jerry, would you want to see a lobster walk or what?
I would give anything to see that.
Anything? Okay. Well,
anything.
We'll come up with something that he can give us.
I'd have especially some lemon juice and butter.
Lemon juice. I was thinking more like lemon juice and moonshine.
Well, now we might can accommodate that.
Then. Okay, we can probably accommodate a little bit of everything. All right, we'll get into that right after a Dan Tip next here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 589. For the last time, tell your wife that sailfish are not a bargain.
Charge!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Rio Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. We're going to the dark side today, right, Nick?
We are indeed, Greg. I thought we'd talk about some night diving tips.
Night diving is pretty cool.
There's little else like it. It never ceases to amaze me how a sight you know intimately by day can totally transform at night.
And the critters that come out. I always wonder where they hide when the sun's out.
I know. They're probably hiding from divers like us.
Well, they're missing out. Good thing we're not afraid of the dark, right? I mean, night diving is a great way to dive, but like so many other types of diving, it does have special considerations that come with it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with gear? Surely there's something to consider there.
Well, for the most part, you'll need the same gear you use during the day, but if you're expecting to be colder after the sun goes down, you'll want to adjust your exposure protection accordingly. And of course, there's one piece of gear you'll want to add.
Unless you can see in the dark.
Which most of us can't. So plan to take some lights.
Wait, lights as in plural?
Lights as in plural. For starters, most divers attach a signal light to their tank or regulator yoke. This helps other divers to see and identify them underwater. Most folks use either a tank light or chem light stick for this purpose.
Is there a big difference between the two?
Not really. It's just that chemical light stick is a single-use item, whereas the battery-powered light you can use over and over again.
How about marker lights?
Marker lights, or strobe lights, are usually used to mark key navigation points like anchor lines or reference lines, or to mark entry and exit points. If you're diving with a charter operation or participating in a lead dive, the operation or dive leader usually sets these.
How about the dive lights each diver carries?
Each diver should have at least two dive lights with him. One to use as a primary, and one to have as a backup in case, well, the primary should fail.
What kind of dive light should you use?
Like every other piece of gear, there are multiple options available. Every diver will have a preference, and it's important to find the ones that work for you.
How about head-mounted versus handheld?
Again, that's a matter of preference, but one advantage the handheld light has is that they offer a great versatility in terms of positioning, and they're easy to control. This can be beneficial if you're new to night diving.
So aside from gear, what other safety considerations do you have to take into account when night diving?
I think orientation is the biggest one, but that covers a lot of ground. It's common practice not to dive a sight for the first time at night because even the most familiar sight will look different after sundown. Take extra time and care to orient yourself. Take note of marker lights so you know in which direction you're swimming from relative to your reference point. You may even take a compass heading so you have a general direction in case you get disoriented.
How about buoyancy control?
Even that's different at night, and you need to take special care to keep track of it. It's much easier to become disoriented at night because your field of vision is so much more limited. You have no peripheral vision. It's easy to lose track of your depth or where you are in relation to things like reefs, wrecks, and other things underwater, or even the surface. Keep an eye on your depth and where you are in relation to your surroundings.
Is there any particular etiquette to observe when night diving?
Yeah, I'd say that falls into two general areas, the first of which pertains to your dive light.
Rule number one, don't blind your buddy.
Absolutely. None of us can see very well when we have light shine directly in our eyes on land, and that's no different turned underwater.
It's amazing what a natural tendency it is to shine your light in someone's face, though.
Sure it is. A lot of your communication relies on facial expressions and reactions. But learning to use your light as a source and form of communication underwater is all part of learning to night dive.
How do you mean?
Well, for example, you can use your light to convey underwater signals like okay, or to get someone's attention, or to make a sign of distress. Similarly, when you get your buddy's attention and you want to follow up with a hand signal, shine your light down and convey the signal in the light's beam. It'll be easy to see, and your buddy will be able to see it.
You can also use your light if you get lost or separated, can't you?
You sure can. Sometimes, if you get separated from your buddy or group, it's hard to see them because of your own light. If that happens, hold your light against you. Don't turn it off, because it'll dim the light enough to allow you to see other lights in the water.
Does that really work?
It sure does.
Voice of experience.
Yep.
So what's the second area of etiquette?
Well, that one really pertains to the creatures you'll encounter. There are some truly amazing creatures that come out at night. But remember that unlike the creatures you see during the day, the natural light level is darkness. Your light is not natural. Try not to spook them too much.
And I'd say be careful not to blind them either.
Exactly. Remember that just as you are blinded when the light has shined in your eyes, so too are they. And in some cases, blinding them with a light or camera strobe can leave them vulnerable. So be aware and careful of that.
And this is where your buoyancy tip comes in again, because there's a lot of creatures that come out at night, aren't there?
You're absolutely right. And that makes bumping against a reef especially hazardous at night, both to you and the nocturnal creatures that inhabit it.
There's a lot to learn about night diving.
There is a lot to learn. And while we've covered some basic tips, it's definitely worth your time to take a specialty class to learn more about it. It's a fascinating and fantastic way to dive, but it's important to know what you're doing and how to do it right.
The world you come to know underwater can become a whole new world at night. But before you jump in to explore it, learn about the special considerations you need to know to stay safe. We know you're not afraid of the dark. Just make sure you know how to traverse it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ and Bubble Boy. And then on the web, we have my buddy Eric Douglas, who just wrote the book Lionfish, now available at Amazon.com. Or you can go to booksbyeric.com and see his entire line of books and all kinds of good stuff there, and including the newest release, Lionfish. But let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in the news here with, what are they calling it now? Eric, it's not a hurricane. It's not a tropical storm even. Kind of broke up when I went over the island of San Juan, I believe. Is that right, Bubble Boy?
Yeah, it's more of a depression now, I believe.
Okay. So, you know, they're talking about getting some rain and stuff like that, but I've already got my feelers out. My tickle stick has been extended down to South Florida, and I have my moles, my lobster lookouts that are preparing for the first storm of the season, or for first depression of the season, because the theory is that this is when the lobsters could potentially get stirred up and start walking. And that is a lobster hunter's dream. Now, of all of us here, I don't know, Eric, have you seen a lobster walk? I don't know.
I have not.
You have not seen a lobster walk. And I know Jerry the Diver Guy has not. And Bubble Boy and Hemi.
I was with you when you had that lobster walk.
Exactly. Yeah. Bubble Boy was with me. He was my dive buddy when we witnessed one of these down in South Florida in about 12 feet of water.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. And the only thing I could have kicked myself after limiting out was the fact that we didn't take any pictures.
Yeah.
I was so angry. I was like, but I was,
You were so hungry.
I was hungry. I was swooped up and, lathered up into lobster fever because I'd seen so many lobsters. And you could literally, they didn't walk as much as they were bundled up in a big ball. And so they were like having like a rave, a lobster rave underwater. And then you look at them, you'd say, okay, I'll take this one, then this one. And then as soon as you grab one, then they kind of you know, scatter a little bit, and then they'd come back together in a bit of a ball. They weren't really walking, like I said, as much as they were just gathering around. And I don't know, what, like a drum circle or something. You know, it's kind of strange to see. So they bunch together, and I guess from what I've heard, and Eric, I know you've written about this stuff and some of the articles you've written for some of the dive magazines over the years, but the theory is that the storm stirs them up, and then so they all gather up and decide to walk and move to a new home or something. Is that what you've heard as well?
Yeah, it's just animal behavior. They're something's. They don't know what's going on in their normal home, so they're looking for a new safe place. And
yeah,
it's very cool stuff. But I wish I'd had the chance, but never had the opportunity.
Yeah, well, but you've seen all the videos on YouTube kind of thing.
Now, when you're catching these lobsters and they're walking, are you grabbing them just by hand, or are you getting them in your net?
You can do both. I was using a looper. I was using my looper, but I would actually be able to be selective, just like you would if you're going to the seafood buffet.
Unbelievable.
At some place where you're going to pull one of those Maine lobsters out of a tank. You know, you're like, oh, I'll take that big one right there. You know, so
yeah, and you don't have to worry about catching one that's too small and throwing it back either.
True. He's like, that one is a big boy. I'll take that one.
It's like Hugh Hefner when the bus shows up at the mansion. That one, no, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes.
Very good. He says that like he's been there. And
does you have a limit, though?
Yeah, a lobster walk. Yeah, I don't think there's, there could be.
You've got a sick mind.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We got more to share next of it. Stay close. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Here come a dive buddy. He be breathing so slowly. He swim to the float ball. He not one to linger. He say, I check. check you. You check me. One thing we do before we both jump in the sea. Dive together right now in the sea.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and we're sorry for that. But anyway, we have our fun, and that might mean abusing your ear, you know, ears every now and then. All right, so Tropical Depression Erica is stirring out there in the Caribbean and potentially heading up the east coast of Florida, or at least in Florida enough to affect the Florida spiny lobster. Our South Florida lobster mole, I believe we have him on the phone right now, is Barry. Barry, are you with us? Come in.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you, Greg. All right. The mole now.
Well, mole or lobster lookout. Would you prefer to be called that? I don't know. What would you like?
I like Lobster Slayer, but you supposedly took that term already.
Yeah, well, who the hell do you think you are?
Well, I'm the Lobster Slayer. There can only be one. So right now, at least, you are the Lobster Lookout, at least South Florida.
I can deal with Lobster Lookout. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. So what are you hearing down there being in that neck of the woods right now? Is the depression going to stir them up, you think? Or, I mean, what's the weather looking at right now? Because it should be affecting your weather, you know, in the area right now as we speak, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's raining out here, but it's not really here yet. It's north of Cuba. It kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
Which is a bad thing. But they're still expecting 4 to 8 footers out in the Atlantic this week, or, you know, tomorrow into Monday. So that should stir things up enough to, go out there, and they should be walking around dazed and confused.
I like it. It's very dramatic when this happens, because what happens is that the local diving community goes nuts. But we don't generally hear about it outside of that area. In the mainstream media until after it's done. But you guys have a kind of a close-knit community down there. Am I right, Barry? And so you're
absolutely.
So however, this time, if this indeed happens, you are our Scuba Radio Lobster Lookout, and you are going to help us alert the world that we need to get down there if we want to go catch some lobsters. Am I right?
Well, yeah, but after I get my limit.
Well, after you get your limit? What? No. You can do this at the same time. I think it's only fair as one dive buddy to another to share. So if you hear this chatter going on, I mean, what will be the signs that you will hear that lobster are walking down there in South Florida? What do you usually hear?
I look in, you know, there are these cams that overlook these different launches, these different boat ramps. And if you start seeing a lot of boats going out with dive gear, then you know something's going on.
All right. So. Well, I would imagine even some of those beach cams would do the same. There at Lauderdale by the Sea, they have a beach cam out in front of the Windjammer Resort overshoots Commercial Pier. So you're telling me that if you monitored that webcam online and say tomorrow morning or, you know, Monday morning, if you see a bunch of divers out there on the beach, that's probably a sign something's going on, you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say Monday into Tuesday, because tomorrow it's supposed to hit.
Okay.
Sometime tonight and tomorrow. So, I mean, it's going to be really nasty. You know, too much to be out there. But unless it regenerates, it'll be a lot of rain. It'll be a little bit of wind. It'll be some rough seas. And hopefully it'll disturb them enough that we'll be able to pick them off, off the ground.
Got it. Jerry the Diver Guy's in Virginia. How quick can you get down here, Jerry? What do you think? Can you make it down here by Monday?
If we get no.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's six more lobster I can keep to myself then, I guess. And what about you, Eric? Can you swing down that quick from Virginia or no? Or West Virginia?
Monday would be pushing it.
Pushing it. Okay, so it leaves CJ and Bubble Boy and myself to represent the Scuba Radio crew along with Barry, our lobster lookout, to snag these lobsters. But we wouldn't. How much of a window do you think we'll have once we hear, Barry? You have any indication from past lobster walks down there in South Florida, you think, or what?
It's usually about maybe, say, 2 to 3 days after the seas have calmed down. And if I recall, it's you three guys, the last time you came out, you stock up on so many lobster from a walk that they were crawling all over the boat.
They were. You stayed on the boat, and Bubble Boy and myself literally filled up our lobster bag,
yep.
Which I believe we were able to get 24 that day. How we were diving, I forget, because of the vessel or whatever. I don't remember what it was as far as the limits that day. But I think we grabbed 24 lobsters on one trip, and I had them in my bag. I actually fit that many lobsters in my lobster bag, which was...
You look like Santa Claus when you came up with
yes.
this big grin. I'd never seen such a grin.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's only happened once. I'd like to repeat that little adventure at some point in my diving career.
That was
we'll
awesome.
See.
That was very yeah. awesome.
Extremely rare. Only happens one time a year, though. Is that right, Barry, as far as you're aware?
It's usually for some reason they just walk once a year. Or, again, if you get these storms, it churns them up and... You know, they'll be out walking in the sand in the daytime, but yeah, visibility at 3 feet. So they think it's nighttime. You just pick them up. You saw how it was. You could pick and choose.
Yes. It was a lobster buffet, for them and for you. Because, yeah, you just get to pick the lobster of your choice. And, you know, it takes away a little bit of the sport. But I'm telling you, it is a... it's like a dream. It's a lobster hunter's dream to experience that many lobsters at once. And a rare sight, indeed, that every diver would want to mark off the list, I'm thinking. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. The Scuba Cowboy is going to join us, as well as more from Bubble Boy CJ, Jared the Diver Guy, and our buddy Eric Douglas. That's coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.